Happy Friday, everybody. I have Jessica Olson on the podcast with me. She is the author of Sing Me Forgotten, which is a gender-swapped phantom retelling that is incredible. I'm sure you've heard about it. I'm sure you've seen it on, you know, your social media. And if you haven't yet read it or bought it, make sure you get that one on your list. It is so good. And Jessica talks with me today about getting her agent, her book deal, gives some great querying advice, and always shares her favorite book with us. So let's go ahead and get to know Jessica S. Olson. So Jessica, can you tell me about your novel, Sing Me Forgotten?
Yeah, sure. It's a young adult fantasy gender swapped Phantom of the Opera retelling. So it's about this girl, Izda, who lives in this world where these where the people have magic. So there's this kind of magic where they can manipulate memories, but this magic is very, very feared because of the way some people used the magic in the past to control people.
Right.
And so she, her kind are killed at birth, but she was saved by this man named Cyril, who is the, he's the owner of the opera house. And he raises her in the opera house, kind of like Quasimodo.
Yeah.
she hides in the opera house, and she's never had contact with the outside world, and she helps Cyril keep his opera house running by manipulating people's memories to help them, like, remember all of the shows that they come and see positively. And anyway, so life is kind of going along like that, and then Cyril hires a new janitor, who's a young boy named Emmerich, and when she hears him sing, and I think I forgot to mention, she manipulates people's memories when they sing, so she can't see their memories unless they're singing.
Okay.
So when she, when Emmerich sings, she hears him singing one night when he's mopping the floor, and his memories are different from anybody else that she's ever seen. And in his memories, she sees visions of another person like her, living out in the free wide world, and so she is instantly curious to know more about this girl and how she's able to live free, and she wants to be able to be free as well. And so she kind of starts trying to get to know this Emmerich boy, even though it's very dangerous for her to do so because she could get killed if anyone finds out that she exists. So anyway, it's a little bit of a a villain origin story, kind of. It kind of shows like how the Phantom was driven to become what he was, but in kind of a spun way where the Phantom is a teenage girl with magic. So.
Oh, I love it. I mean, I love Phantom of the Opera, so I love the gender swapped take on it, and I am excited to read it. I have my copy. It's on my list to get going to, so that's so exciting.
Yeah, I love Phantom of the Opera too, obviously. So.
I would hope so, right?
Yeah.
Well, tell me about your journey to this point, to having your book come out into the world and be published. How did that all happen for you?
Oh, man. I started writing when I was, I mean, I wrote, like, little picture books when I was little, but I think when I first, like, realized, like, you could be a novel writer and author, when I was, like, I think I was, like, 11, I read Harry Potter, and I was like, I want to do that, and so... Yep. I started trying to write books when I was in middle school, and I had, like, notebooks of stories and things, and in high school, it was when I kind of, like, really was like, I'm going to be an author, and I thought I was going to be, like, you know, like, the youngest published author ever, you know, but obviously that wasn't the case, but I started working on a novel pretty seriously in high school, and it was, like, a YA contemporary, like, issue novel, kind of like Winter Girls or Speak. It was... I'm kind of dealing with some mental health issues I had experienced and I wanted to tell a story about. And so I wrote that in high school, and then I continued, like, rewriting and revising and stuff in college and started querying in, like, 2009.
Wow.
Yeah, it was a while ago. And so, yeah, I started querying in 2009 trying to get an agent, and no one even requested that novel at all. And looking back, I know why, but, like, at the time I was so crushed. It was, like, the greatest novel ever written, why doesn't anyone want it?
Right, of course.
But yeah, so I kept writing off and on through college, and then kind of took a little bit of a break when I got married and had my first baby. But then I started writing again after my first baby was born. I would start writing like during his nap times, because like I used to love this. Like I want to get back into it. It was always my dream, always my dream. And so, so I started writing again, and I wrote YA fantasy, my first YA fantasy, and tried to query that, and I got some requests that time, but no bites. And then I queried again with another book. Well, actually, it might have been the same book, but just like totally revamped, and because I think the first version was kind of a dystopia, and then I like totally rewrote it, and it was a fantasy. Anyway, the details are murky. I don't remember.
Right. That's okay. But that's all right.
Anyway, and so then I queried that second version, and I got more requests and some interest, but then I started writing Sing Me Forgotten, and this was in 2018. I started writing. I had this idea for like a Phantom of the Opera story that I wanted to write, and so I started writing that. And I knew Pitch Wars was coming up that summer, and so I was like, it was like May, and Pitch Wars deadline was like August. I was like, I'm gonna write this book in time for Pitch Wars, and so I like wrote it really fast, and I essentially sent a first draft in for Pitch Wars, and I just like crossed my fingers that it wasn't awful. But anyway, so, and I ended up having to pull my other manuscript that I had been querying when I found out I got into Pitch Wars that year. And so the other manuscript that I'd been querying was still out with several agents, one of whom actually was the one that ended up becoming my agent. But that,
oh,
anyway.
Wow.
But yeah, so I pulled that manuscript from all of those other agents who had it, and I started like focusing on Sing Me Forgotten in Pitch Wars, and that led to the showcase at the beginning of 2019, and I got several requests from that, and I got my offer from my agent within 48 hours after sending it.
Wow.
And then ended up with multiple offers and you know, made my pick, and then we went on sub and it sold. So I actually sold at auction, which was really crazy and stressful and surreal and crazy and really fun. And so yeah, so it's I guess by the time this podcast comes out, it's already out, but
yeah.
It's kind of a crazy like 12-year journey from when I first started querying in 2009 to I'm having a book out in 2021. I wouldn't change it for the world.
Yeah, I mean, you didn't get to be the youngest published author ever, which was like a dream of mine too. I remember reading a book and like looking at, you know, that little author blurb on the inside jacket, and she was a teenage author, and I was like, that's going to be me. But of course, it wasn't. But I mean, yeah, still, you still got there. You still achieved the goal, even if you weren't the youngest published author ever.
Well, yeah, and it's funny because I look back at my journey, and I'm like, all of those books that I queried along the way, you know, they had their place, they taught me things, but I'm so glad they weren't my debut. Like,
yeah.
You know what I mean? Like,
yes.
You want a certain level of work to represent you, and I'm glad that those aren't the books that represent my beginning and publishing and stuff. I'm glad for what they taught me, but people ask me all the time if I would ever go back and publish those books, and I'm like, no, mm-hmm. I would not, because I've learned so much more now, and
yeah.
I mean, those books aren't very good, but I didn't know at the time because I was learning. So.
Right, and you still, you know, like, I have books like that too, and, you know, books that I love, and I love them because of what they taught me as an author. Like, I would never want anybody else to read them, but I still do appreciate, you know, all the, I mean, I feel like with every book you write, you get better and you learn more, so there's nothing wrong with just keeping those on your shelf to remember.
Yeah, well, and I mean, it doesn't even stop, like, once you publish a book. I mean, I hope 10 years from now my books are much better than the ones that I'm writing right now, you know? I hope that I continue to improve and grow as a writer, and I think all writers kind of hope for that we continue to level up with every book we write.
I think so, too. Well, that is so exciting and such a wonderful journey. So, you know, I've talked to many other Pitch War veterans who, you know, that process is very fast paced of a revision, but, you know, it's such a wonderful thing to have somebody else like kind of mentor you and your book through that.
Uh-huh.
So that's awesome that you were able to participate in that. But tell me how you look at all of it now from where you are after signing with your agent. Like, how you look at your querying process, what you did beforehand, and then maybe in retrospect, any like tips you have for writers who are querying right now.
Okay, I think the biggest thing that, like, I can look back at my querying, like, I queried 3 times. Like, Sing Me Forgotten was the 4th time that I queried. Mm. And so I had done it several times. I know there are people who do it even longer.
Right.
But I'd queried several times, and I realized, like, by the time it came time to sign with my agent that, you know, in the beginning, I just wanted an agent. Like, it didn't really matter who it was. Yeah. I just wanted someone to say yes. And so I queried everyone, you know, and people say, you know, query 100 agents and don't give up until you reached 100 no's. And so, you know, the early manuscripts, I sent my query out to everyone. I mean, I did my research and made sure they represented the genre I was writing, but I, you know, essentially queried everyone who represented that genre, regardless of who they were, how long they'd been querying, or who they represented, or anything like that. And the longer I queried, the more I realized that this is a business, and this, for me, this is a career. Like, this is my dream career. I wanted to do it my whole life, and I want to do it for the rest of my life, you know? And so it was like, I needed somebody who could get me the career that I wanted. And I realized that when I finally went into Sing Me Forgotten, and I had, you know, so many, and I had requests, but it came time to figure out, like, who do I want to be my partner in this? And it kind of, you know, with the last couple books that I queried, it was like, I was a lot pickier about how many queries I sent out, because you don't want an agent, you want the right agent. And if the right, like, if you query, you know, for me, that ended up usually being around, like, 20 to 30 agents, maybe 35, that I would query, and if I, you know, exhausted that list, they all said no, then I would shelve my manuscript and write a better one and try to get one of those agents to say yes, because those were the agents that I wanted to work with. They don't have to be, like, dream agents. You don't have to, like, the top-selling, like, most amazing agent, but just the kind of agent that can get you, because I knew I wanted to publish with one of the New York publishing houses, the Big Five.
Right.
You know, I knew I wanted my book to have a decent shot at, like, starting my career in a good place and stuff. And so I was looking for an agent who'd made deals and who had those connections and who had the experience doing those kinds of things. And so, I don't know. I think for me, when I give querying advice to other people who are starting out on their querying journeys, it's to be picky in your, cause this isn't partnership, and people have to leave their agents all the time and find new ones and then find new ones again. And, like, it's like dating almost. Like, you want to find a, you don't want to just date anybody. Like, you want somebody who's going to, like, I don't know, this metaphor is kind of getting weird, but.
It's not. I've heard agents use that metaphor when talking about, like, the author agent relationship too, in a certain way.
Yeah, so you want a good match for the kind of career you want. Just like when you're, like, dating and getting married, you want a good match for, like, the kind of life you want to build and the kind of family you want to build with your agent. You want somebody who's your partner and who, you know, makes up for your weaknesses. Like, if you know you're really weak at world building, you want an agent who is really editorial and good at fantasy world building or whatever. You know, you want to find the right agent who kind of complements the kind of career you're trying to build and who has the connections that you need to get your book in front of the people that are going to get your books in the places that you want to get. And so I think that the biggest thing, like, when you start out querying, is, like, what do I want? Like, pie in the sky dream, like,
right,
what do you want? And then, like, don't settle
right
until you, like, fight for that.
Yeah.
So
I
find the agent that'll get you there.
I think that is such good advice. And, you know, I think that we've all at a certain point felt the way you did, like, oh, I just got to get any agent. Like, I just got to sign with an agent. And, like, I think for a lot of authors, that can just be the, like, feel like the dream, just getting an agent to sign with them. You know, I think it is so important to try and find and look for an agent who's going to be a partner, who's going to champion your book the way you want it to. And, you know, I think that can lead to hard decisions, like what you were saying, how, you know, you would query the agents who were on your list, and if everyone said no, you would shelve your manuscript. That can be a hard thing to do, to be like, oh, okay, gotta start over and write something different. But, you know, I think that there is so much good in that, and to really, I think, maybe can help curb the experience that a lot of authors do have of, like, switching agents and signing with someone who maybe isn't the right fit for them. So, yeah, that is definitely great query advice.
Yeah, and I think a lot of, I mean, I remember when I'd written my first novel, you know, it took so long and it was so hard. It's like, you know, this big marathon trying to write a novel, and you don't want to let it go because you poured everything into it. You've never done this before, and so it was hard and it was taxing, and you're so proud of it, and it's like your baby, and you don't want to put it aside. You don't want to give up on it. But the thing is, just like with marathons, you know, you get better with every one, you get faster with it, you know, maybe not faster writing, but you know what I'm saying? Like,
right.
It's you're just going to improve because of what you learned with the last one. And so, even though maybe you'd be like, I don't know, it's just the more books you write, the more you realize you have more books in you. And I know that the first one, it feels like this is it. Like I have to make it with this book or else like all of that work will be wasted, but it won't be wasted. Like it's not. Like I am so grateful for those books that I wrote, and I am not sad anymore that they didn't, you know, that they weren't the books that made it because like I said, like they taught me what I needed to be able to write the book that did finally make it, you know? And so, yeah, it can be hard to, it can be really hard to shelve manuscripts. I know we can get so attached to them, like little people that, we, you know, these characters have created. It's really hard to like accept that they're not going to go anywhere. But also at the end of the day, like this is a business, this is a career, and you know, you got to make the moves that are going to give you the career you want. And sometimes that means doing a hard thing and shelving a manuscript and moving on to something new. But
yeah. And I think that is just a good way to look at it, as if it is really something you're wanting to pursue as a career and be published in the industry as the way it is now, you do kind of have to change your mindset a little bit with those sorts of things. And that can be a hard thing to do.
Sorry, I was just going to say, one of the advice that I give to people that ask me, you know, like how do you get published or whatever, I always say treat it like a career before it becomes one, because if you want it to become a career, you have to treat it like one, even if you're not making money doing it, even if it takes you several years before you sell, you have to, you know, show up, put your butt in a chair, type the words, do the work, and the success will follow. Like, you know, publishing rewards those who persevere, not the people who are perfect, but the people who work hard and keep trying, even when they keep getting rejected.
That is such great advice. And I think too, treating it like a career before it becomes one is such a good point too, because then when you do have to be on deadline or push through quick revisions, then you're a little bit more accustomed to like, okay, no, I've been putting in the work, like I can do this.
And I think for me, like it really changed when I stopped treating it like a hobby and like a thing that I did for fun sometimes. And when it started being like this thing that I showed up for, and maybe not necessarily like every single day, but where I, you know, made sure I was putting in the work and the research and the stuff. So yeah, I agree.
Well, I love it. Thank you for sharing that perspective on it. My next question is a two-parter. I'd love to know for you, what is the hardest part of writing and what is the hardest part of being an author?
So I think the hardest part of writing is like whatever part I'm in, honestly.
Yeah.
Because I'm always like, oh, if I could just get through this part, like the next part will be better. And I get to the next part, I'm like, oh, this part I forgot. I actually hate this part the most. And so, but I mean, like objectively, like if I look at it, I think the hardest part for me is the beginning, the outlining and like the first draft, because like you're standing at the bottom of this massive mountain and you know how hard, like especially like if you've written several books, like you know how hard it is to get to the top and you know how long it's gonna take, and it's just like, oh, I'm so like, this is the farthest the book will ever be from being good, you know? Like it's the first draft is when it's just at its total worst, and I hate writing my first drafts because I'm always like, I'm going to delete this whole chapter. I'm positive of it. Like, you know, because you end up throwing out chapters or characters or scenes. And I know that some things are going to end up not making it to the end. And it's like, why am I even doing that if it's just going to get deleted?
Yeah.
But you have to write the first draft in order to write the second draft and the third draft. You know, it's I think the beginning is the hardest for me because you're just staring up at the Mount Everest and you're like, oh, am I really going to do this again?
Right.
And like, how hard is this one going to be? And like, how many times are my toes going to fall off on the way up this mountain? And like all of these things. But I think revisions are my favorite part because that's when I, you know, I think Shannon Hale is the one that says like first drafts is like throwing sand into the sandbox, and then revisions is where it's making the sand castle out of the sand you threw in the sandbox.
Yeah.
And yeah, like, I feel like for me, I like revisions because it's like, that's when I can dig in and make this pile of crap turn into something worth reading. So, right. And what was the second part of the question? Ooh, hardest part of being an author?
Yeah, hardest part of being an author.
Okay, so the hardest part of being an author, I think, is, like, as in, like, the career part of it, is that
what Yeah.
I think that, for me, it's how many things take up my time that are not writing. And, like, the closer I get to having Signy Forgotten release, there are so many more things that keep coming up, like, that I have to do that are not writing the book. It's, like, answering emails and talking to people and you know, arranging pre-order campaigns and figuring out giveaways and compiling giveaway entries to, in order to pick a winner, and like all of these things that take time, and creating graphics and just like the parts that come with the business side of it that I wasn't, you know, I didn't know how much time it was going to take. And I'm sure it's even worse for authors who have many books out because they're supporting multiple books, and right now I'm just focused on the one. So but yeah, it's definitely like a, especially as a debut, I'm like, I don't know what the crap I'm doing. Like, somebody tell me if I'm, like, wasting my time on this thing or that thing. But I think it's all just, you just kind of have to pick the parts that you love. You can't do everything, so you have to pick the things that are important to you as an author and kind of focus on those things and just do what you can. But it's definitely, there's a lot more things pulling my attention away from, like, writing books, which is sometimes frustrating because that's why we get into it, right? Because we love writing.
Yep.
So it's like, but I haven't written all week because I've been doing all these other things. So.
But then you remember, oh, I have to do all these other things because I wrote a book and because I want to keep writing books.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I have small children, and so my time for writing is, like, very, very limited.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I can only write when they're sleeping.
Yep.
So it's like, I only have 3 hours in a day to be able to do stuff, and I can't write, you know, because it's just... It's a journey, and you have to figure it out, but...
Oh, you do.
I don't know.
Yeah, I'm with you there. I have a 10-month-old and two, you know, older children who are, like, in school, but it's definitely hard to find time to write, so when there's other things that take your time away, you're like,
yeah.
Ah, come on, I have to do the actual thing.
Yep. It's a season of life, for sure.
It is. It'll pass, though, at some point, and we will have more time to write in bigger chunks.
Hopefully.
Well, let me flip this question for you. So instead of the hardest parts, what is the best part of being a writer and being an author for you?
Okay, so the best part of being a writer, well, I think I said my favorite part of the process is revisions, but the very best part of it is, like, when I'm done, and it's like,
oh yeah,
this is the best I could do, like, this is, and you're so proud of it, and you can look at it and just be like, this is the best that I can do at this point in my life with the skills that I have, and I know that 5 years from now, like, maybe I'll look back at it and be like, oh, I could have done this and this and this, but right now, in this moment, this is my best work. And that is a really fulfilling feeling. It's like all the endorphins of finishing the marathon, right? Like, I did it. Like, this is the book. And so I think that's the best moment, is like when it's done. And I, like, it was super surreal to send in. I just did past pages for Signy Forgotten. Like, they just sent it to print or whatever a couple weeks ago. And so I, you know, I clicked send, and that was the last time that I was going to change a word in that book, and then it was done. And it was like this crazy feeling, like I was like, been on this journey for, with these characters, with this book. I mean, this one didn't, like, 2 years or whatever that I've been working on this one, but 2.5 years, I guess. But it's just super crazy to be like, I did it. Like,
yeah,
this book is done. It's out of my hands now, and now it's, you know, it belongs to the readers. And that's kind of a crazy, beautiful moment, I think. And then as far as, like, being an author, I think finding people who really connect to the heart of your work is one of the most exquisite feelings in the world. There have been people who are just, like, early readers who have read Signy Forgotten who, I mean, obviously there are people who don't like it because there's people who don't like every book out there, but there have been people who really connected to the soul of the story. Usually they're Phantom of the Opera fans.
Yes.
but they, who just, you know, just really, really loved it. And that is such a satisfying thing, to, like, have other people love these people that I created in my brain, you know, have a special place in their heart for for Issa and Emmerich and love them, and you know, in a fraction of the way that I love them, and that's really, really fulfilling and really fun. And so I look forward to more people reading it and hopefully more readers being able to connect to the story that I created.
I mean, I think that's why we, you know, write and we have this dream of being published, is for that feeling, for that connection of like, okay, somebody is going to connect with my story and love it, and in a similar way that I do. I mean, there's what gets better than that?
Yeah, well, and I think a lot of us are inspired, you know, as we grow up, you know, when we're like, oh, I want to be a writer because we read a book that we loved, and we're like, I want to make someone else feel this way, you know. So
I think that that is very true. There's definitely books I remember reading growing up that I remember reading and being like, I want to write something like this someday that makes somebody feel the way I'm feeling right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yep, exactly.
Well, thank you for sharing those. My next question is a little bit more about your writing style. So when you're doing that dreaded first draft, do you lean more towards pantsing, planning, or do you fall somewhere in between?
I'm an outliner, like, and it's a newer thing. Like, I started out totally pantsing my novels, my first couple, and then it was kind of with Sing Me Forgotten. I pantsed the first draft, and then in Pitch Wars, when my lovely mentors gave me my 16-page edit letter, and I realized I needed to completely rewrite the story from scratch, I decided I didn't want to totally rewrite the story from scratch, send it to them, and then be like, oh, this is not what we,
right,
you know, this is not good. And so I was like, I'm going to write an outline. I'm going to write all the things that I'm going to write before I write it so that I don't have to write another, you know, draft that I have to scrap. And so I wrote this, you know, pretty in-depth outline, like a scene-by-scene outline for them, and I sent it to my mentors for them to, like, okay it. Like, this, yeah, I think this fixes the problems that we saw before I wrote. And when I did that, it made, for me, and I know that this is different for everybody, but for me, doing that outline, and like that in-depth of an outline, made the drafting so much faster and easier because I knew what the story was already, and I could just like sit down and type, like I didn't need to think anymore. And so I would just, you know, sit down that day and look down at what, you know, what scene I had to write for the day, and then I just barf it out, you know, and so I was able to write it. You know, that second draft, I wrote it in like 3 weeks, I think.
Wow.
And so just because I'd done such an in-depth outline, it was just, it came right out, you know, and then we had to do very little revision because we fixed the issues in the outline before I wrote it. And so, and then I was like, I'm never going to write a book without an outline ever again. Like, that's amazing. Even though outlining is like so not fun. It's like homework. But so with the next book that I wrote, my second book, that's coming out in 2022, it's another standalone, and I did another super in-depth outline. It's like, I think it's like 18,000 words long.
Jeez.
Yeah. And I, you know, I sent that to my editor before I wrote, so I was like, I want you to okay every scene in this book so that I don't have to rewrite it. And because every book up until, you know, this book two that's coming out in 2022, every single book before that I'd had to rewrite from scratch at some point. So I was like, I don't want to rewrite this one from scratch because I'm on deadline and that'll be too stressful. So I ended up, and I, you know, that was like the easiest book that I'd ever written, was the book two in my, like the book two in my deal, because I just had the outline and everything. So anyway, so I'm working on another book now, and it's like the longest outline I've ever written, but like I'm powering through because it's like I don't want to have to rewrite the book. I just want to figure out all the problems, fix the plot holes before I even write them. And so I'm a very like fervent believer in the outline for me. I know that that doesn't work for some people. Right. Some people don't like to know the ending before they write.
And yeah,
I think everybody has to find their own, you know, their own process and what works for them. But for me, the outline is like the thing that like, it's like the holy grail or something for me. It's like, it saved my life.
Well, I love it. I mean, hearing you talk about it makes me want to be an outliner, but I'm so not.
it's totally different for every person. And like the way that we process our stories and stuff is so different. So I can totally, understand not being able to do it this way. But
yeah, but good. I'm glad that it's, like, made writing easier for you. That's what we want, right?
Yeah. I mean, it's not easy still, but it's definitely at least made it so that I don't have to rewrite every single book from scratch that
That's
I write.
Good. Well, do you, so you talked a little bit about, you know, wanting to be this young published author. Do you remember, like, where this love of writing began for you?
I always loved reading and books and everything from a really young age. And my parents always joke about how I was the kid that would stay up all night reading, you know, hiding. Yeah. I have a very specific memory of, like, hiding in my room trying to read a book. And my mom kept catching me. And so then I started, like, stuffing blankets into the corners of my door so that she couldn't see the light coming out from under the door. Because I just, like, wanted to keep reading. And she wanted me to go to bed. And so I was, you know, I was just always, like, a very avid reader. And I think I kind of just always knew that books were kind of part of my core. They were part of who I was. And so, yeah, it was... I think when I was 11 was when I was like, I'm going to be an author. And I kind of never stopped believing that. You know, I went to college, I got a degree in English with a minor in editing because I was like, I'm going to be a writer. Like, that's what I'm going to do. And so.
And here you are.
Yeah, here I am. It's kind of crazy because I know a lot of people want to be writers, but, you know, it's a hard industry. It really is. And it's not for the... Not for the faint of heart, and so.
No, it's not for the faint of heart, and I would even go to say, like, it's, well, I think it, I find a lot of other impatient people in the publishing industry, but I would say it's not made for the impatient person, because it just moves so slowly.
Yes, and the frustrating thing is that, you know, how long it takes to write a book, and then the fact that you, a lot of times, have to write the book before you sell it, and mm-hmm. so you don't even know if it's going to sell and if your time's going to be worth it. You know, it's just, it's maddening.
It is. I saw an agent, like, tweet something that was like, I wish we could have, like, a panel where authors could come and, like, pitch their ideas before they've written them so that they could know, like, whether or not they should spend the time on them.
Yeah.
Because of
that. That would be really nice.
Wouldn't it? Well, tell me a little bit about your revision process, because... You know, now you have an agent, you have an editor, but what do you do, like, before you send it off to them to make sure your book is, like, really where you want it to be?
So for me, I kind of do an outline again, because now I'm this, like, big outliner person, apparently. Mm-hmm. I usually when I finish a first draft, I have a lot of thoughts about things that I want to improve, because a lot of times as I'm writing, I'll think of things that I'm like, oh, I need to add this earlier on in the book. But for me, in a first draft, I try to power through and, like, not go back and fix things. So I'll just make notes to myself, like, oh, go add this character back, you know, earlier, or, you know, take out this thing or whatever. And usually by the end of the book, I have a pretty good idea of a few things that I want to change. And so after the first draft, I usually give it a little bit of time to rest, just depending on how much time I have. With my book two that's coming out in 2022, I did not have a ton of time to do so because I had a deadline.
Right.
So I think I only let it rest for like a week, but usually I just give it, you know, some time and, you know, read other books and try to keep my mind off of that book so that I can, you know, give it some space. And then I'll read through it, making notes of things that I want to change on like an Excel spreadsheet. I'll put like chapter one, what's in the book, or like what's currently there. And then I do a section of like what I should change or like things that need to happen. And I go through and I kind of like make an outline that way of like what happens and then what needs to happen. And then I just go through, for my first draft revision, I go through and I go through that Excel spreadsheet and I make all the changes that I listed. And then it's at that point that I usually send it to my CPs, which now include my lovely mentors from Pitch Wars. We've become really good friends, and we swap manuscripts and help each other all the time. You know, I read for them and I give them critique, and they read for me, and they're wonderful. So I send it to them, and then I have one or two other CPs that I send to, and they'll read and give me feedback, and then I do another revision based on their notes, doing the same kind of thing. Like I compile their notes and then I go through the book and, you know, do another spreadsheet, what's there and then what needs to change in each chapter. And I do it again. And it's really satisfying. It's like a to-do list on that Excel sheet. Cause then when I finish the chapter, I can like turn it green and be like, I did it, you know, yes. Like it's a little check mark. But, and so I, that's how I do it. And then at that point is usually when I send it to my agent. And she and her assistant will read it and give me feedback usually at that point. And then we go from there after I do revisions based on their notes and we send it to my editor and, you know, that's how it goes. So.
I love it. I mean, I feel like Excel is my best friend during revisions. I love, you know, I think it's just nice to see it visually a different way because it can be hard to, I don't know, keep everything straight in your mind, especially when you're so deep in the manuscript. So I love it. I love Excel. It's so good.
Yeah. And it kind of compartmentalizes it. Like it turns it into like baby steps instead of yes. being like, oh, I have to revise this whole book. Like, yes. It's like, okay, I have this list and there's just like, you know, things and I only have to change each, you know, one of these things and I can check it off the list and I did it, you know?
Yep. That's my favorite is being like, okay, I am done with that part of it at least.
Yep. Yep. For sure.
Well, awesome. Thank you for sharing that. I mean, I think revision tips are always helpful. I mean, for people maybe who are stuck in a revision or, you know, new authors who are just trying to figure out what next steps to take is always good to hear from people who are, you know, more familiar with doing it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think it's funny how in the beginning when I first started writing, I thought that revising and, like, editing was, like, moving sentences around and like commas and periods and like making sure the spellings were right and stuff. And it's not until I've written a few books that I was like, oh, that's not editing at all. Like nope. Revising is a whole, you know, you don't do the moving periods and commas around until the very end after you've revised for months and months and months.
Right.
So that's funny.
The things we think, the things we have to figure out through the process.
Yep.
Well, Jessica, I have just one last question for you. It is a hard question, so I do apologize. I'd love to know what your favorite book is right now. Now, this is not your favorite book of all time, just something you've read recently that, like, you can't stop telling people about.
Oh, gosh. Let's see. I've read a lot of books this year. Or, I mean, not, like, a lot compared to some people. I follow people on Instagram who read, like, 200 books
yeah.
in a year, and I'm like, okay, that's not me. But, I am a diehard Victoria Schwab fan, and so I adored Addie LaRue. To me, it was a masterpiece, and it was a masterclass in prose, and it was just, it was beautiful. And, like, I mean, it's a slow book, and you definitely have to go into it not expecting, like, this fast-paced thriller or anything like that. It's a lot, it's very literary, and it's very beautiful, and I don't know, Victoria Schwab is my favorite author. I think if I ever met Victoria Schwab, I would probably forget how to speak English and, like, just, like, melt into a puddle of, like, embarrassment. Because I just admire her work so much. I fell in love with her work when I read Darker Shade of Magic. And then I read the whole series. I devoured that series. And then I read her Vicious duology. I guess it's probably going to get more books eventually. I think she's mentioned that. But right now, there's just two of them. And I read and loved both of those. And so Addie LaRue was a very, you know, as soon as she announced it, I was like, okay, pre-ordered, you know? And so, and I was not disappointed. It was beautiful. It was heartbreaking. It was, I think, but the thing that I loved the most about it was how poetic it was. Very gorgeous prose. And yeah, so I'm never going to shut up about that book.
Well, good to know. I've seen lots of people talking about it and posting about it, so it definitely has made its way onto my list, but now you, like, make me want to read it more.
Yeah, it's very good. It's very, very good, and I love listening to her talk about the writing of that book. It's so inspiring.
Well, yeah. Wonderful. Thank you for sharing that. I know it can be hard to sometimes pick out a book, but I feel like that was a really easy answer for you.
Yeah, no, that wasn't a hard one for me.
Oh, good.
I just read it like like a month or two ago, and it's still in my brain. I don't usually reread books because I'm like, there's so many books, so little time. But right. I'm like already like, I want to reread that book just to get lost in her words again because they're so beautiful.
Well, I love it. Thank you for that. Jessica, thank you so much for chatting with me today and letting me and my listeners get to know you and learn more about your book, Sing Me Forgotten.
Yeah, no problem. Thanks for having me.
Thank you guys so much for listening to this episode of the podcast. Please make sure to rate, review, subscribe. Follow me on Instagram and Twitter @RoseQuinny, QUINNY. See you guys next time.